I'm Carol Hills, in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. That truce in Ukraine turned out to be very short-lived. The streets of the capital, Kiev, have erupted again. Anti-government protesters fought security forces today. Government snipers fired on protesters. Protesters threw firebombs. Dozens of people are reported dead and many more injured. This Kiev resident lives near Independence Square, the epicenter of the violence.
And I was about to leave for the office at around 10:30 a.m. and I just seen the reports about people being assassinated by snipers. And then I saw the pictures of the confirmed dead people. It's getting very dangerous now walking in the street.
So how did things in Ukraine escalate so quickly in the past few days?
I think they escalated because of the inability of the government to address those demands that were initially very, very modest, demands of closer relations with the European Union rather than going back to Russia as the old partner from Soviet times.
Alexei Solohubenko is a Ukraine analyst with the BBC in London. He says the downward spiral began last November after clashes broke out in Kiev.
Protesters were radicalized, troops were radicalized, riot police were radicalized, and the government was still absolutely unable to find a meaningful compromise or to engage in discussions with the opposition.
What about the political opposition in Ukraine? How important are they or how linked are they to the protesters and the whole mess playing out in the streets right now?
Yeah, I think the mess in the streets is basically not the creation of the opposition. It's a self-styled opposition in many ways. What I mean by that is that the opposition represents political parties in Kiev, but it doesn't necessarily represent everybody who is coming out into the streets to protest. Some of them were radicalized groups of young people throwing stones, petrol bombs and the rest of it, but others were not. And I think it's important to stress that the bulk of those who oppose this government or President Yanukovych are peaceful citizens like you and me, and their demands are rather modest. Early elections, for example. They don't want the armed overthrow of the regime.
What's happening outside of Kiev? I know we've heard over and over again how the eastern part of Ukraine tends to be more pro-Russian, the western half of the country more pro-Western Europe. What's going on out there?
In eastern Ukraine, the stronghold of President Yanukovych, there are bellicose calls from the mayor of Kharkiv, for instance, which is the second largest city in Ukraine. He said today that protesters are not peaceful at all and must be physically eliminated. In the Crimea, always a very awkward and difficult area in Ukraine because it was handed over 60 years ago to Ukraine from Russia by Nikita Khrushchev. So in that area, there's open discussion about secession. So the longer this crisis continues in the capital, the more volatile the whole provincial setup of Ukraine becomes and the more dangerous it is for this very, very young country, which is just 22 years old, with vibrant but fairly fragile democracy.
Alexei, what's the way out of this crisis for Ukraine?
Well, it's hard to say. I think the first thing that needs to be done is for the violence to stop. And for that, the president must give the order to its troops to stop firing live munitions, live bullets, and to withdraw the troops from the streets of Ukrainian cities. Who will be able to make that order? The president should, will he? It's not clear. But also it's not clear whether he will be heard, whether he will be listened to. So I'm afraid now the situation is extremely volatile and unpredictable. And there isn't a simple or an optimistic answer. So I suspect that violence and more deaths will be reported in the next couple of days.
And finally, Alexei, what is this crisis? How has it affected you personally? You grew up in Ukraine.
Well, obviously, I know all the places which are now the battlefields. You saw those famous barricades next to the Kiev football stadium with the fires and the burning and the shooting and everything else. This is, I walked down that street for years because I was playing tennis just next door. So it's all kind of very strange and very familiar. But there's one image that for me is very, very important. You know, one of the burnt out buildings on Independence Square, on top of it, there was a city clock. It's like Big Ben in London or a clock in Times Square in New York City. And that clock is silent now. It's kind of frozen in time. And I think that's a nice metaphor to describe what's going on inside the country. It's frozen in time. And hopefully it will be restarted and there'll be some kind of movement But at this stage, the clock is idle.
The BBC's Alexei Soloubenko. Thanks so much, Alexei.
Thank you.